Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Gila Tech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, hour two, lunchtime, bean time. Put a few shrimp on the barbie, strap on the feed bag, off we go. It's lunchtime, peanut butter and jelly on University of KMOX. We have room in the back of the classroom. Come on in, have a seat. We're talking about cold weather, old man winter, the coming of cold temperatures. If you think this is cold, hang on to your hat, folks. We're just now, we're only 8 days into winter. Yeah. Well, maybe nine, December 21st, the solstice, all that. I promise, it's getting cold. Forecast is, today it's cold, according to Brian Kelly. It's getting colder tonight and tomorrow. So hang on to your hat. We're talking about things about winterizing your home, weatherizing your home, making things operate. I promised in hour one we would talk about lubricating lock sets, deadbolts, things like that. There are important things to be done. Do not oil your locks. Do not oil your locks. Silicone, yes. Powdered graphite, yes. Oil gets thick. The viscosity rises, which means it gets turns into a gelatinous material when the temperature drops. Also, on your overhead door, don't lubricate it with oil. It'll be very happy in the summer, but now in the wintertime, those bearings that are oiled, even 3-in-1 oil, gets thick. Resist the movement of the ball bearings and the rollers. So that's where I would prefer even a, you know, WD-40 silicone spray. There's a spray that Overhead Door uses. I think it's called Lubriplate, and it's kind of a liquid, kind of a silicone, has a little bit of grease in it sort of thing. But anyway, it's formulated for this temperature here. The point being that if you're going to lubricate your locks, and it's important that you do, don't use oil. I would prefer a WD-40 so that it gets freer in its operation. Keep in mind, this temperature raises the soil. The soil freezes. Soil is full of moisture, even in the drought situation we are in now. As that temperature freezes and penetrates the soil expands. If you're my age, you remember swimming pools had 55-gallon drums that were thrown into the water in the swimming pools. Water is kept in those swimming pools so that they don't float up out of the ground. If you have a swimming pool that is in-ground pool and you don't put some weight in it, when the water and the rain hits, it will float that swimming pool up out of the ground just like a boat floating in water. So that's why they leave water in these pools. And typically, they will put in a 55-gallon drum when I was a kid. Now they have various methods and ways of controlling that, and also how the pool sides are sloped a little bit so that the ice moves and doesn't, you know, break so much. The point being that water, when it freezes, expands. When water expands, it will split your freezing plumbing pipes. It will raise your slab, your patio, your porch stoop, and specifically that concrete step that your door sits on, that will raise too. So in hour one, we had a question of what do I do when that slab is poured with the steps, the whole thing is dropped, you know, how that changes. Well, keep in mind, it dropped because the soil settled, but during some of the early winters, that slab would raise up, pinch the door, make the exterior door hard to open. So keep in mind, it's important that we check those things. We're going to talk about all things around your home, talk about heating and cooling. I want to get into a little bit the different types of furnaces and heat available so that you're aware of what the choices are. This may not be the time you change furnaces, but I want you to be aware because this is the time the awareness is high. So it's important. Keep in mind how that works. Let's go right to our phone lines here. I have a very patient Norman who's been holding. Norman, thank you for holding, and I hope you're still on the line. How can I help you, my friend?
I am still on the line. Thanks for taking our call. This is kind of similar to that previous caller where, you know, obviously we turn off the valves for the outside where you put the hose in, the outside faucets.
Yep.
And we've done that in a timely manner. And on the outside faucet, there's been like a small drip of water, a very small drip. That small drip has now turned into a big icicle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So am I in trouble or am I going to be in trouble? Or
Probably not yet. But if you hit 6 below, 3 below, 4 or 5 days of that drip, keep in mind that as long as the icicle, the stuff dripping off the bottom of the icicle is good if it stays warm. I would suggest knocking that icicle off. And if you can, warm up that spigot so that you don't block the flow of the coming drips. You see where I'm going with this, Norman?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, I was thinking about if I broke it, but I thought if I broke the icicle, that would cause even more problems.
Nah, you're okay there. I mean, the icicle is pretty brittle compared to an iron pipe or a copper pipe or even some of the PEX stuff. So don't worry about that. But there's still, you know, the fat part of the icicle is right there at the actual tip of the faucet spigot.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the one. If that keeps getting fatter and fatter, it'll block or occlude the opening. And then those drips just keep on coming for another day. They build up and then they fill the entire void, and then they freeze and split, and that's when you're actually breaking the pipe by that expanding water.
So it's okay to use like a little hammer or something just to kind of tap that icicle?
Oh, I would use only, frankly, I would just break it off with my hand, and if I could, if there's some way, I'd get a hairdryer out there or a heat gun or something like that, warm that up periodically, and it shouldn't take very long. Unless you're very comfortable with a torch, I wouldn't use a torch. You can melt some of those threads. Oh, that's good. I like that. You know, okay, use your wife's blow dryer, but don't tell her.
Okay.
So do it on the down low, Norman. Don't get busted for using her blow dryer there.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. So once the weather starts to increase the heating and everything, what do you replace the outside valve? So obviously there's a leak there, or the washer's bad or something?
Yeah, all of the above. Frankly, if you're going to have a faucet rebuilt, the faucet costs, washer costs $1, but the labor costs more. You're better off applying that labor cost to a new antifreeze faucet that you don't have to mess with anymore.
Okay.
You know, the way that antifreeze faucet works is instead of being 3 inches long, it's actually about 20 inches long, and the pipe connects and turns off the water way back inside your heated house in the basement. So there's really no water to freeze out there unless you leave your garden hose connected. That's why I'm so, vehement about removing those garden hoses.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go put my coat on and my gloves and everything else and go out and try to break that icicle off that faucet.
Yeah, stuff like that, Norman. I look at the forecast and I figure out, okay, it's cold now. I don't want to do it. And then, well, tonight's colder and tomorrow's colder. I'll do it now.
Exactly.
Thank
you very much. I really enjoy your program.
Thanks, Norman. Good idea. And thanks for the call. Good luck on that blow dryer. Don't tell your wife.
Okay, thank you.
All right, okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Again, any port in a storm. And you've got those little insulated things that you buy for $3 at the hardware store that zip ties, kind of slides on your faucet. That's where they're a little bit more effective. It seems like, they're not a big deal because they don't really, there's no heat. Well, they are valuable because it lessens the wind chill value and it'll minimize how much this dripping faucet freezes. It's more apt to drip and freeze on the bottom of that insulated cup. It looks like, half of a bleach bottle cut and just clipped on the outside, but it's made out of quarter-inch foam. Anyway, we've got phone lines wide open for you. First hour here, we had great calls, great questions, good show. Thank you. You are the show. I sit here every now and again doing my best. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900, 436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Remember, new homeowners, bring them on right here at KMOX, 11 a.m. every Saturday morning. At your service, Scott Mosby.
Your home for the best blues coverage. America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Wow.
Oh, yeah! Whoa! Whoa! Wow! Oh, sorry. Pardon me. Got carried away. Cody put a little music bit. Oh, yeah. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. We are live and lively. 50,000 watts of insanity. More fun than adults should have. Locked in a room full of glass and a whole bunch of, 50,000 watts. Whoa. Hello there. Well, let's get to the phone line, see what's cooking, and start with Terry. Hey, Terry. Welcome to Hour 2, KMOX. How can I help?
Hi, Scott. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can.
I have an elderly mother who has vinyl flooring, and this is the kind that come on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we put down the de-icer on her porch, that vinyl flooring gets really slippery. And I'm wondering if there's any application, something I can put on that flooring to make it less slippery.
Not really. Anything that you put, first off, the vinyl floor is not really made to wax or put a something on. The only thing I would put on that would be rugs with a rubber backing, something, you can even get commercial floor mats that will take the water off as you come in the door. So keep in mind, it's the wet feet and the floor.
Right.
So if you can eliminate either the floor or the wetness, I would go after the wetness. As you come through the door, you might have, a fairly unattractive commercial mat, but golly, it's not going to slip. And,
Well, we did that, and we even duct taped the edges because she's 91 and she's by herself. So
yep,
that's going to work. It's just not the prettiest of things. But we'll leave it there. I just didn't know if there. I know on a ceramic tile you can. There's an application you can put on that.
Yeah, well, for 93 years old, I'm going with the vinyl floor more than the ceramic tile because of the, one is a more forgiving and flexible. So during the months when it's not so wet and slick, it's just better on the joints. The ceramic tile, basically a thin concrete plate, so it's a little rough on knees and hips and joints.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. You good question, Terry. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And there you go. I mean, keep in mind, and this is part of what we do at my day job at Mosby Building Arts. We'll have people that, joints are, anyway, 50 years old and better. I want a ceramic tile floor in my kitchen or family room or places where I'm going to spend a lot of time. And we'll have a conversation that, there are other choices. Even hardwood floor, we put a lot of hardwood floors in kitchens. Not necessarily with young families where you're dropping the gallon of milk, the spilling water, spilling juice, but in the 50s, grandkids come and all of that, but generally not with the same amount of risks. Whereas an everyday wear and tear on ankles, knees, hips, the joints that we use a lot, and the more athletic you are, especially professional athletes, my gosh, you talk about burning out a body fast. My goodness, you get in a room full of professional athletes that are 60 years old. It sounds like you're breaking twigs when they all stand up to go out of the room because, the knees and the joints are just gone. So anyway, keep in mind that there is an appropriate softness that has to be part of planning floor surfaces where you're going to be doing a lot of time. Now, in a bathroom, you typically don't walk around, stand, and move on the impact, whereas a kitchen, you can go back and forth and back. So your movement is substantial. The impact of every step has a consequence, and that contributes to discomfort, wear and tear. So keep in mind, that's just part of the design conversation. Let's see what's cooking here with Mark. Hey, Mark, Scott Mosby here. How can I help you, my friend?
Hi, hello, Scott. I'm following up on a comment you made about faucet covers.
Yes, sir.
A few weeks ago, I put mine on.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I bought the thicker one. They cost $3 instead of $2.
Yeah, you really splurged, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Somebody thought it was going to be cold. The faucet's not dripping. I got a crawl space, and I guess I just feel safe with those covers. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it doesn't hurt. I mean, for $3, you're buying insurance. Even if it does freeze, you'll feel better that you did something about it. And it will make a difference because the wind chill, you're not blowing that 4 degrees across that metal, removing the heat faster. So, I mean, you definitely made things better, even if you have a crawl space that's not that heat. Believe me, it's still 30, 40 degrees warmer in that crawl space than it is outside. So you're doing the right thing.
So it's not dripping. That's okay.
Oh, you're doing great. Now, make sure, do you have the ability to shut that faucet off from the inside at all?
No, I shut it only on the outside.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
Well, you're doing okay.
The crawl space is too hard to get in.
Oh, man. Boy, do I understand.
I had my boys do that. They're all gone.
Yeah, yeah. Well, doing that thing on the outside, I think you're doing pretty well. Believe me, you would know in the last 3 years if it wasn't working. We had two past winters were mild, but 3 years ago we had a dandy.
Yeah, we had that terrible one.
Yeah, yeah.
Lot colder than this one because it cracked my driveway. I got all these pitted spots now.
Oh, man. I know.
You know what I mean?
Oh, boy, do I.
The cement froze.
Yeah, well, the ground froze and lifted the cement up. All concrete is a thick plate of glass. It cracks. You know, you move the stuff underneath it.
That's why I got all those little potholes.
Oh yeah, know what you mean.
Okay, well, thanks for your help.
All right, Mark.
Hey, this one is a follow up.
Yeah.
What if I let my inside faucets drip? Would that make any difference?
If they're on an exterior wall, Mark, yes. Because the idea is if you have water standing still in a pipe, it's going to do is get colder and colder and colder if it's on an exterior wall. So that's where, I would like people to open up their exterior cabinet doors overnight. All that does, it just lets the warm air from inside the house get underneath your cabinet closer to those pipes on the outside wall. So, kitchens are typically on an exterior wall. Sometimes bathrooms might be. That's where open those cabinet doors, pull your trash cans out. If you're really worried about it, and for those of you that do suffer frozen pipes regularly, then I just put a little fan blowing the air underneath that cabinet where the plumbing pipes are. Doesn't have to be a heater. Doesn't need to be warm air because your furnace is warm in the house. All you have to do is rotate, circulate warm air up against those outside walls under your camera. Yeah, man.
Okay, I'll leave that. I haven't any problems here. I used to live in San Antonio, and everybody's pipes would bust when it froze.
Oh, well, those houses are built for tropical spaces. They don't know how to handle this stuff.
No insulation at all. So, you got to. I remember going up the attic and using my wife's
blow
dryer thing.
Blow dryer.
Blow dryer.
Don't anyway, tell her that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your help, Scott.
Okay, Mark. Thanks for the question.
Please,
I know. And that's important. So I promised to walk you through the house. That's one of the things. When you get down below about 10 degrees, and those of you that have frozen pipe issues, the idea isn't to put more insulation on the pipe. The idea is to get the heat to touch that pipe. So I have people that say, well, I've got these pipes on the outside wall of my house. Should I put insulation on them? No. Open the doors. Make sure the warm air circulates under that cabinet. Let the heat from the inside of your house touch those pipes. The only place you want to insulate those is down in a crawl space. And even then, you must supply some source of heat. Cold is the absence of heat. It isn't the presence of cold. Cold is the absence of heat. So to have pipes not freeze, you need to get warm something to that pipe. That's heat tape. That's warm interior air. It is a warmed or conditioned, semi-conditioned space, which is what a basement really is. It's not outdoors. It's usually temperate. So it's important. Let's see what's cooking here with Kathy. Hey, Kathy, Scott Mosby here, KMOX at your service. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You just addressed the question I had for you about the prevention of freezing pipes, but let me ask a little bit more. You said let the water go in a slight stream. Is that correct?
Just a drip, Kathy,
just a drip.
Yeah.
Okay.
All that does is bring warmer water from the source, which is underground or in your crawl space or in your basement, and it moves that warmer water toward that faucet so that you just need a drip, 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 drip. All it does is it's bringing warmer water past that cold possible freeze pipe, you know, so that's
okay,
the idea.
Great.
Yep.
And that's for faucets closest to the exterior of the house?
Yep. If you have a bathroom that's on the inside of the house, don't bother. Doesn't need it. It's already in a temperate or semi-protected area where there's heat all from the house all the way around those pipes. You're good.
Okay.
Might be in a laundry room with outside, you know, and which means like, well, what do I do with that with a washer dryer? Well, mm-hmm. you know, when you get down below 10 or 5 degrees or negative 5, I would unhook those things and, you know, put a hose or put the hose into the, you know, utility sink and let them drip a little bit.
Okay, real good. All right. Well, thanks an awful lot.
Okay, Kathy, thanks for the call. Bye. Home Improvement, KMOX. Again, 20 degrees, even 15 degrees. Most of the houses in this latitude around the St. Louis area and the same distance from the North Pole and South Pole, that's the latitude part, that north-south, our homes are built pretty well, even if they were 60 years ago. You know, pipes froze 100 years ago, so the builders generally knew and the plumbers knew where to put the pipes and not. The problem came when we started super insulating and insulating the houses where more insulation is better. Well, many times we caused those problems as a construction community because we insulated all the way around the pipes. What we've learned, or I've learned in the last 50 years, is insulate from the exterior of the pipe out. Do not insulate from the interior of the pipe in. Make sure that warmth from the inside of the house penetrates through the drywall, plaster, exterior wall surface, whatever it is, paneling, and make sure that heat gets to the face of that pipe on the exterior wall. Better yet, run the pipes 8 inches inside the heated envelope of the house, come up through the bottom of the kitchen cabinet, and then don't penetrate or run any kind of pipes in that exterior wall envelope or cold area, and you're better off. Anyway, enough of my stumping it, if you will. I get pretty passionate about this stuff because I can make a big difference in people's lives by spreading this thing around. You split, if I can save one split pipe, that's somebody being saved $500 to $1,000. And if you don't believe me, try the plumber. They're not cheap. Yeah. Ouch.
Get ready for the Blues and Hurricanes tonight. Pre-game skate 6:30. The puck drops at 7. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all your action. Hear it here on your home of the St. Louis Blues. KMOX.
Oh, yeah. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. And it is cold, cold, cold. The forecast is colder. And then the forecast after that is even colder. Yep, that's the mission and the topic today. Let's go to the phones, talk to Mary. Hey, Mary, Scott Mosby, how can I help?
Well, I'm calling again about the frozen faucet.
Yeah.
And I just have some more questions I wanted to ask you about it. I knocked the ice off of the faucet with the hairdryer.
Okay.
And then I put my finger up in the faucet. Well, after that, the opening in the faucet gets really, really small.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm wondering, do you think the water is frozen further up in the faucet?
Most definitely. Yes.
Oh, wow. So the other thing, you know, on the inside, I turned the water off, righty-tighty.
Okay.
That turns it off.
Perfect.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
I had that before, and then that drip. And so should the outside faucet, should I leave it open a little bit, or should I turn it off?
Leave it completely wide open.
Oh, wide open.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That leaves the greatest area for that drip to fill up. If you have it just a little bit open, that area can freeze quickly and then occlude the pipe. So you bet. Wide open on the outside. Once you turn off the faucet on the inside, wide open.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing, if it keeps dripping, you said if it gets colder, you should go out there every so often and melt the ice off of it.
Yep.
Is that what you say? So can you give me any parameters about the temperature and how often you should go out and melt it?
When it gets down to be, that's a function of your house, the winds, okay. how cold it gets, how many trees block. I mean, there's so yeah. many variables.
The only thing it has on it is I put one of those styrofoam covers on it.
Yeah.
You know, that you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get up in the middle of the night here, Mary. Don't lose sleep okay. over this. Something is better than nothing.
Okay.
But keep in mind that we're trying to keep that pipe open and not filled up with right. ice that can expand and split.
Another question that I had, I had put insulation around all the water pipes in my basement, and what's in my basement are it's copper tubing
mm-hmm.
in there. And
take it off.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
you want the heat to touch that pipe from okay. the inside of your basement.
I was going to say, for some reason the hot water pipe is warm, you know, and it runs along the line, and I don't have that one insulated.
Well, that's the one to insulate because it keeps it warm, but the only place to remove this insulation is where the pipe goes to the outside spigot in that uh-huh. 2 feet area there. Anything inside that has to do with keeping your hot water warm to your faucets and showers,
okay.
so it's just the outside section.
Insulate the part that goes to the outside.
Yeah, remove that insulation.
Remove it.
Yes,
okay.
ma'am. Let the heat get to those cold pipes. The cold pipes happen when they go to the outside of the house.
Okay. I think you've answered. What is heat tape?
Heat tape is an electrical filament that you can wrap around pipes to keep them warm that comes on for, you know, when it gets to be 35 degrees or something like that. If
uh-huh.
you don't know what it is, don't mess with it because there are a lot of fires that happen from
Got
improperly.
It.
Yeah, just
okay.
you're better off just removing the insulation on the outside 2 feet of that pipe that's going out to your hose bib.
Okay, and I just want to tell you how much I appreciate this help that you've given all these people with this problem. And you've increased my confidence about being able to deal with the problem. So I really want to thank you for that.
All right, Mary, that's what okay. families are for and the families of
yeah.
KMOX.
Thank you.
All
Take
right.
care.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye-bye.
There we go. I love it. I mean, why wouldn't I love doing this? Come here on Saturdays, help people out, make the world a little better, share information I have anyway, and, you know, be part of the family of KMOX, which I am as a listener. Anyhow, let's see what's cooking with John. Hey, John, Scott here. How can I help?
You're a good person, Scott. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks. I do my best.
Now you're doing fine. Here's the situation. House is closed down for the 3 months of the winter. And
okay.
right now,
yep.
the two-story house, the water main is completely shut off. All of the faucets on the first floor have been opened, and there's no water pressure, no drip or whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The dishwasher in the kitchen on the first floor, there's water that seeps up daily from the drain, and I have no idea how that happens.
I'm not sure what you mean by first floor then.
There's no water, no water or pressure or anything in the pipes on the second floor. Everything's drained down through the first floor.
So the pipes have only air in it. The pipes have no water in them anywhere inside that house.
Correct.
Okay, you're good. Now, one thing I will, are your toilets empty or have you put RV antifreeze into those toilet tanks and bowls?
Have not.
Yep.
You mean on the second floor?
Right. Anywhere. First floor, second floor, any place you have a pocket of water, 31 degrees can cause problems. Toilet tanks, toilet bowls, pee traps on drains, not even the water supply, but you have a charge or slug of water in that pee trap. Dump some RV antifreeze. You can get it at a hardware store or the home center. Make sure you use the RV stuff because it can go into our potable water system, septic tank, sewers, all that. That's all good.
Understood. One other thing I forgot to tell you. The house temperature is maintained at 65.
Oh, you're in pretty good shape. Well, golly, well, what I'm telling you gets it down to, you know, turning the heat off. And I don't advocate that because pipes don't have slopes on them and you'll, you know, actually, I'm okay with 55 and up to 60. 65 may be a little bit warm. You don't, unless you have just a lot of pipes on the exterior walls and stuff like that.
So you think that the water that's backing up in the dishwasher in the kitchen on the first floor is coming from P-traps?
It could be just water draining from the second floor pipes down onto the first floor. Keep in mind, anything open will drain. So, you know, that's not a problem. It's just happening as it should. I like to see water moving, you know, in a house set up for winterizing, you know.
Very well, sir.
If the water's moving, it's not freezing. Okay, John.
Amen. Happy New Year.
Right on. Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby, KMOX. Do a little business here on University of KMOX. Welcome to the family.
Get ready for the Blues and Hurricanes tonight. Pre-game skate 6:30. The puck drops at 7. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all your action. Hear it here on your home of the St. Louis Blues. KMOX.
All right, I give up. I can hurt myself doing those moonwalk and spins on the floor here. Leaves me out of breath. So much to talk about. Let's go to the phone lines and see what's cooking with Laverne. Hey, Laverne, Scott here. How can I help?
Scott, I have crown molding in my family room and pretty much throughout the whole house on a single family level. I mean, one level.
Okay.
And this also crown, and the ceiling is the popcorn type ceiling.
Okay. Yep.
In spite of the fact that when they sprayed it initially at the building, it's not as heavy as some.
Okay.
But where the crown molding hits the very ceiling, the very top, mm-hmm. it's starting to separate. And I was told by a friend who knows a lot about, mostly about carpentry, mm-hmm. that the person that put it up initially probably didn't put some kind of a board that makes it adhere more tightly to the ceiling. I'm not sure what word he used.
Yeah, a nailer, a backer board.
A nailer, that's it. You got it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. How big is that joint? The crack.
What does that mean?
Like an eighth of an inch wide between the crown molding and the ceiling.
Oh, what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Where it's separating?
Yes, ma'am.
It's very minuscule, but
yeah.
this eye sees it. Probably no one else sees it unless I point it out. But.
No, I'm tracking right there with you. I don't think this is a big deal. It can be caulked. It is pretty much an expanded part of the paint responsibility. Keep in mind that crown mold, whenever it went up, it used to be stored out in a warehouse or, you know, a lumber yard. And it was subject to very humid temperatures in the summer. Then it goes into your house and then you heat it, you know, multiple years and it shrinks. And that's okay. That's what wood does. So it's not a big deal, but it does need some attention. I don't know that I would start nailing nails up in there unless it gets to be more than an eighth of an inch.
Right.
So if it's less than that, I consider it something to be caulked. It's common on baseboards. It's common on crown mold, casing. Worry about this too much. This is more aesthetic.
Let me slow you down for just a minute because what I'm contemplating doing, because he did caulk portions of it where it had started.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't lasted more than a year. And he said it wouldn't.
Ah.
He said most likely it's not going to last more than a year.
Yeah, it is
it
nails.
Hasn't.
Yeah, he's right.
Okay, so, you know, he did a temporary fix for me, but he said that nailer was important when they put it up.
Mm.
Now, here's what I'm contemplating doing.
Okay.
I'm contemplating taking all the crown molding down
mm-hmm.
and having someone come in and scrape the ceilings
mm-hmm.
and then putting crown molding back after, you know, putting paint back on where it needs to be.
Yep. How this will happen, Laverne, is they won't scrape the ceiling. They'll actually put new drywall over the top of it.
You're kidding me.
Well, it's labor. It's too labor intensive. When you go to scraping it, sanding it, priming it, painting it, you're better off financially with skilled labor. It's less costly to put new ceilings up almost 80-90% of the time. So that this is not an easy thing. This is like fixing rusted metal. You cannot be almost good. You have to be perfect. So,
when we first moved in here, and that's been 35 years ago, the ceiling in the master bedroom was, we did scrape it.
Yeah.
But it was because it's an enclosed space, and I have a lot of open space that goes from one room to the other with no header to separate them.
Yeah.
So we knew that it was going to be very costly to start scraping ceilings 35 years ago, even, so.
Now, as a do-it-yourselfer, you can afford to scrape it because you're paying nothing for the labor. When you're paying skilled labor to scrape bumps off a surface, man, that's where you burn the money.
So actually, what you're saying is the likelihood is they're going to take down the crown molding, put a thin sheet of drywall up?
Yeah, ideally a half inch. Don't let them put thin sheets up because they get wavy. They're still, 2 feet between the nails on some of those ceiling, trusses.
So it still needs at least a half inch.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And it doesn't really matter. It's just material difference. There's very little labor difference on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think that's, in other words, that is the answer for this?
When we get involved, when we do the assessment of scrape or new, it's almost always new because, the quality goes way up. The cost doesn't change much. You're going to paint it anyway.
Certainly a lot less messy.
Well, there you go. I mean, one is really hell to live through, and the other is, you're in my way.
Yes.
Yeah. No, now if it's a DIY, if you're doing it yourself, you can afford to burn hours and hours and hours, but not if you're paying a skilled person.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you very much. I would have never, I actually did think about replacing the ceiling with something more, in line with my ideas rather than plain. But maybe that is still the answer. So.
Well, here's the risky part of this. This is your classic remodeling project, and anybody putting ceilings up should ask you these questions. Are your lights in the right place? Do you want to add any lighting? Is there any place where you'd like to add insulation? If you're going to cover all the aesthetic stuff, fix the sins behind it, too. So that's where, and up goes the price and up, so frankly, that's the classic remodeling project.
Now, I have 18 inches of insulation in the ceiling, the attic.
Yeah, you're pretty good. Yeah.
But that wouldn't have been any part of this separation.
Yep. I'm sorry here, Laverne. I'm going to have to go.
Okay. Well, right. Thank you for your help.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby.